I'm John Furrier. This is the concluding part of an interview with Alwin Sekura, the VP of Engineering and Operations at Blue Lane Technologies. We've been talking about the challenges of IT departments to deploy security patches, especially in an open source software environment. Here's Alwin Sekura.
We talked about the conceptual nature of a patch proxy. Let's talk about what it would take to make it a product that's deployable in the enterprise. First of all, we got to accurately and transparently mimic the vendor patch, because that's our claim to fame, right? The patch does a variety of things. It might actually block the stream. It might send an error message back to the client saying it's invalid. It might do some reconciliation. It might do some transformation. We have to do all of the above. We cannot take the road that some vendors have taken, that we either alert or block. There's no in between. We are not an on-off device. We have to mimic the behavior of patch. That's number one. Number two, by no means can we touch the server. The minute you touch the server, all of the operational benefits that we've gained go away. Thirdly,
that's a philosophy of the product. So that's your product deployment. You don't play with the servers because that takes away the benefit of the
That
product.
Takes away the benefit.
Got it.
Because
okay.
We have our boxes potentially sitting in front of hundreds of servers.
Yeah, yeah.
The minute you require a touch on the server, that's hundreds of touches.
Yeah.
Multiplied by the frequency of touches.
That was part of your requirements of the product.
That's part of the requirements of the product. No ifs, ands, and buts about it.
Good deal.
Thirdly, it's got to operate transparently, meaning it's got to operate line speed, gigabit line speeds. It's got to operate with very minimal latency, sub 500 microsecond latency, because you cannot introduce latency on the network. And fourthly, it's got to cover more than just Windows, because the data center contains Windows and Apache stacks, Linux stacks. It contains Solaris. Yeah. Oracle,
all these open source stuff that you got to deal with.
It cannot be a Windows-centric solution.
Yeah, network operating systems. You got appliances,
correct.
Edge devices. You know, all kinds of stuff.
Absolutely. And the last thing is, given that you're on the network, it'll be a very important feature if you could provide tremendous visibility and management on a patch-centric basis. If you could show your customer how many patches are being actually stimulated, that would give them a sense about maybe how many patches, which servers are most stimulated by our active fixes. That would give them a clue about what are the more critical servers, which are the patches that they should first deploy, etc. So those, I would think, are the first four or five mandates for our product. In terms of the question you asked about the deployment itself.
Yeah, pretty straightforward. They drop it on, what you're basically saying is they drop it on the network. We don't touch the servers.
They drop it on the
network. We support all the operations.
There's
like three things. Okay, done. Next.
Done. And it happens transparent. And the way we've done it is the box gets dropped in front of the servers. We have a management console that we give per administrative domain to our customers. That management console, as and when vulnerabilities become manifest on the internet, as and when advisories become available from the vendors, we upload we call them active fixes. Our emulated patch is called an active fix. These active fixes get downloaded and appear in the inbox of our customers.
You're like the center of disease control for patches. You get everything covered. You follow the sun. You get development teams everywhere.
Yes.
You just on top of everything.
Top of everything.
So, I mean, obviously, this is from an IT perspective. Everyone's been talking about in the IT industry about the re-architecture of the IT department. So this is clearly going to be a part of that, with the whole software development cycle changing. And
This
is just a side effect of that paradigm. But I want you to talk about what it's like for the customer after your solution. I mean, you've had visibility into deployments. You've obviously have very happy customers now. You're one of the hottest startups in Silicon Valley in terms of growth and great product. What are they feeling like? I mean, they're getting home at faster hours. I mean, talk about the emotion and what they're going through and some experiences.
Yeah, I think the initial reaction is one of, wow, I didn't know a product could do something like this. It really gives them time relief. They go away from a reactive mode to be able to place our box there. And the beauty of our box is it's not very noisy. Unlike many of the products, the first generation of intrusion detection products, where you'd see bells and whistles and alerts all day long, thousands, even in a given day, our box is relatively quiet, does its job, provides our customers with the visibility into their streams. They got to look over their shoulder every once in a while. So it truly, truly allows them to get away from a reactive mode, pay relatively close attention to the new advisories coming out every day, every week from the different vendors. They could look at our product and do the same too. So it has changed the paradigm some. It has changed the way they behave. Patching is no longer reactive. They can continue to go back to what they used to do, which is validate and test new software updates, test the new service pack. Don't test the security patch update, and go back to little less frenetic work and little more contained, deliberate.
They're reacting to if they're spending all their time reacting to vulnerabilities, they're going to take away from their core job, which is aligned with the business objectives.
Yes.
Architecting how this new model is going to be architected.
And they're no longer stuck in the midst of the patching dilemma: patch now or patch later. To a certain extent, it aligns the interests of the security group. Mm-hmm. The operations group and the business app group.
Yeah, and the security is not going away. It's going to be an ongoing thing, so it allows them to really fortify their bases and the network and attack the applications.
Yep.
So with your background in all the history you have going back to the internet and going back to computing networks,
yes.
What would you compare this paradigm, this obviously it's a venture that you're involved in and it's doing great, but if you had to compare this to some flashpoints in history of networking and computing, what would you compare it to?
Well, to a certain that's an interesting question. To a certain extent, I look at every new wave of adoption has brought in its new set of challenges, and that set of challenges, in turn, the smart folks around there have innovated their way to react to those challenges. Likewise, there is a manifest pain point here that's prevalent in every single enterprise, and we are in turn actually modifying. There's something very unique about what we're doing. One of the reasons when Andy Ratcliffe, our benchmark board of director, brought me to this company, my first reaction was, wow, these guys are actually modifying traffic in flight. I've been in networking for more than 20 plus years, and nothing comes close to doing something like this. In order to make some of these things happen, you are in the transport layer modifying traffic to be able to emulate the effect of a patch. I had not seen anything like this. You either route traffic, in other words, you're switching streams, switching,
it's policy
routing.
In stream. You're doing policy in stream,
and modifying
basically.
The stream in flight. That is something very unique. This is I'm a startup junkie. I founded a company. It was successful, voice video data over the broadband networks, taking that public. Last company was a BGP route control company that got acquired. What is unique about this company, the technology is unique. It's a very high, it's unique, hard to replicate because of the entry barrier, the technology.
Intellectual
entry
property.
Barrier, huge intellectual property here. But the pain point is everywhere, and it's a nice, elegant solution. I can, in two words, state what the problem is. You have a problem with the operational pains of patching. We can allow you to patch without patching.
It's an aspirin for you. It helps you with top-line revenue and business objectives and bottom-line costs.
Yeah. So to a certain extent...
I mean, it's a perfect storm on the business side in a good way.
Yeah, to a certain extent,
perfect holiday.
To a certain extent, you ask me, what do I compare it to? But I've seen...
You're excited, obviously.
I'm obviously excited. That's one of the reasons.
It really is a profound shift. I mean, obviously, you mentioned it with the development cycle, but this is one of the side effects that you guys have just capitalized and said, hey, this is real problems and we're solving.
Real problems being solved by a very elegant solution through some very incredibly smart engineering at the underpinnings. That's what gets me excited about this every day. And we truly fundamentally believe we are helping solve a
You are. I mean, you're giving someone a vulnerability relief with on-the-spot real-time. It's a real-time environment.
Yes.
And that's a great solution for that. Patch Manager always has time problems when they get updated.
Yeah.
And it's a great solution. Well, you heard it here, BlueLane.com. Alwin, thank you for the podcast.
John, thanks for the opportunity. Thank you.